introduce themselves to you. So I'm going to have start my far right and have them introduce themselves first and last name.
Hello, I am Dave Rodriguez.
Hi, I'm Vince Pilato.
Brenda Heilman.
Paul Heilman.
Sophie Heilman.
Jay Riggleman.
Pam Riggleman.
Emma Smith.
Anna Zarek.
Gloria Rodriguez.
Nanita Zarek.
Isabel Smith.
All right, so this is the team of 12 that went to the Dominican. We're going to be talking a little bit more about some of the details in a moment, and you'll be hearing from a few of the team members. Some of them shared in the first service, some are sharing in this service. But we wanted to start this way. As a team, we memorized a passage of Scripture together before the trip, and we also used it for our devotional time. So we're gonna give it a try here, see how we do. We have it memorized. That's just something else she's looking at. That's okay. So John chapter 15, 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give it to you. This is my command. Love each other. All right, thanks. All right, you can have a seat. All right, thank you. So Makarios is a ministry that we support. Makarios International has a headquarters in Austin, but its main location is at the north coast of the Dominican Republic in the Puerto Plata area. Interesting, the word Makarios is a Greek word for the word blessed. So if you read, or blessed, if you read the Sermon on the Mount, that's that Greek word over and again, blessed are the poor in spirit. So that's the name of the ministry. The vision of Makarios is to see communities serve Jesus Christ while working to end generational poverty. And Makarios seeks to love, educate, and empower those they serve in the Dominican Republic through three main programs. The first program is the Makarios School, and they have 200 students in their school, grades or ages K 3 to 12, and it represents 120 families from three different communities. Also, the school not only provides education, but if you kind of paid attention to that last video, they also give the students two meals a day, clean water, medical care, and dental care. So it's kind of a holistic approach. So that's one way that Makarios serves in the Dominican. Secondly, there's a ministry called Family Empowerment, where they go and they minister and they work with the families of the students in each of these communities. They do this through evangelism, literacy training, job training, parenting skills, and discipleship. So it's, again, a well-rounded aspect of getting into the community, so they don't just have this the school kind of isolated. They really try to get involved. And then the third part of their ministry is group ministry, where they host groups throughout the year and mainly in the summer, and we were one of the groups that they had to be a part of that. So that's kind of Makarios in a nutshell. If you want to look it up online, sometimes you can just Google Makarios International. It's a very interesting website you can check out. I want you to know that our church has an involvement and an investment with Makarios even before this trip. About 3 years ago, we took Makarios on as part of our missions, global missions ministry and budget. So we took on supporting the third grade class as a class response to that class. And now we continue to work and go with them as they kind of go up in age. And this year they're going into seventh grade. We also send money each month to a medical fund, so to help with the medical supplies that they have. So that's kind of neat. Also, what happened, I just want you to share this because some of these things are behind the scenes. The seventh grade class, again, is starting some new things as they get older into the school. And one of the things that they're going to be doing in the seventh grade that they've never done before in the school is have a science lab. And so they needed science lab materials. And we have a contact in our church who is in part of a business that has science lab materials, and I was able to email that person, and their boss, who's not a follower of Christ, graciously donated a lot of materials that we took over with us. So that was great. The teachers were thrilled with that, and we didn't break anything, and we made it through customs. Because some of the stuff I had no idea what it was, and I was so glad nobody asked. What is this thing? I have no idea. I think it's to make drugs. I don't know. I thought that might not be a good answer. So that was neat. And also, you as a church, you not only support the class and the medical fund, but in our missions budget, we have a line item called special projects, where occasionally throughout the year, we'll bless missionaries through different needs or projects that they have. And we found out that the seventh grade class needed a microscope. So we brought them a check from the church for $250 to buy a microscope for their lab. Again, they were just thrilled with that. So thank you for being a part of that ministry. And another neat thing, we didn't know was going to happen until we got there. One of the Macario staff people organized us to be able to have a party. Can you go back to just for a second there? Yeah, that's the whole class and a couple of the teachers and us. They organized an opportunity for us to have a party with the class. So all the students were there, some of the teachers were there. So we had a party, a pizza party with them, got to know them. And it was a really neat connection because we're their sponsor church. We sponsor their classroom. So that was kind of neat. Let me just give you a quick trip summary at this point about kind of what took place as far as my own life and then what we did. I've led a lot of trips, and each one is quite unique. I was encouraged by this particular team because 8 of the 12 have never, ever been on a missions trip before, including some of the adults. So for those of you out there that have never been on a trip, there's hope for you. There's opportunity for you. And I'm sure God's going to be calling some of you to a trip. So that was neat to not only have them go, but also to watch them experience it for the first time, just that missions environment, both the fear and the faith, the joy and the nervousness, all those kind of things. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So that was great, and that was something that stood out to me. I also learned some new words when I was there. I'm not really good in Spanish, and Dave helped me out actually in the early service. I'll try my best. I learned a phrase from a VBS student that was our VBS camper that was directed towards me. The phrase was coco pelo. Pelao? Pelao. Coco pelao. Say it with me. Coco pelao. I said, okay, what does that mean? Well, it means bald coconut. So, I'm teaching that to you not to use it ever again in church or use against me, but that's the only way this kid, he wasn't being derogatory. It's the only way he could describe me. Coco pelao, bald coconut. So you learn something new every time you go. This young man I met in one of the communities, his name's Manuel. This is what I took away from the trip personally, as you, again, will hear from others. When we went to the Dominican, in particular to Macario's and these communities, especially these communities, we did not bring Jesus to them. Jesus was already there. We just came alongside these wonderful believers and celebrated the love of Christ with them. They allowed us in to celebrate with them, and we felt their joy and their grace and their love for God. So we came alongside, and that was helpful for us in many ways because of language barriers and other things. But we didn't go there to rescue them. We went there to celebrate the one that had already rescued many of them. We celebrated Jesus with them. So that was really kind of neat. Let me just give you a quick a snapshot of what we did on the trip and the week that we were there. We visited all three communities that are by the school. There's slides there. There are three different communities, Chichigua, Pancho Mateo, and Tamarindo. And then there's another slide that shows you kind of the in and outs of as we traveled through and visited each community. We also toured the Macario School. We were able to see the classrooms. The school was not in session. We toured the classrooms. We also were able to paint the seventh grade science room that we're sponsoring. And so we were able to do that. That was kind of neat. We also visited an English school and interacted with some Dominican students who were learning English. Loved the English school because on the wall it said this, Spanish prohibited. It did, right? It did. I got an A in that class that day. No Spanish. None. Gracias. And then we helped out with a three-day VBS where we did an object lesson, a memory verse that we'll refer to, and then we did some games. This was our game field. It was an alley. And we had to make sure traffic and motorbikes didn't come on either end. There's another picture, I think. Is there one more? Yeah, so that was, we had fun doing that. Jesus is my superhero was the theme. So in the videos and pictures you'll see, sometimes you'll see us with Superman, Captain America, Flash shirts on. That's because we're not trying to be like, hey, we're the superheroes. It was part of the theme, and so that was what we did. We also did work projects, and you can just scroll through those, Ricks. We painted. We made some cabinets. We hung some things, and we painted, and then we painted, and then we painted again. And some of them were painting outside when it was really, really hot. It dried quickly. So that was great. And then one final thing that we did each night is we had what's called roof time. We stayed in a missions house that had three stories, and the roof was open at the top. It was a large area, and we were able to gather there as a team and talk about our memory verses, talk about our day, and worship together. It was a really special time for me. And it really was because some of the team members liked worship but hadn't really entered into something like this, and one of them at the end of the week said this to me, and I won't identify who she is, but said to me, you know, I would never have really entered in so, you know, passionately into worship before this trip. And I never would have stood up in front of people and worshiped, but she did today. And I texted yesterday to the team and said, don't forget, you got to be here at 8:30 to get ready for worship. She texted me back, I can't wait. And that's just really kind of neat. So that's what we did there. So that was awesome. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a few testimonies from some of our team members, and then we'll continue on and show you some of the things we did. We ready to go? All right, so here we go.
So when I was on the trip, one of the staff members there, his name was Miguel, and he lived in Tamarindo, and he loved all the kids, and all the kids loved him, and he would play games with them during VBS and teach them about what we were doing in VBS. Next picture. This is Scarlett. This is one of the kids who was at VBS, and she came over to me when we were doing worship, and we started dancing, and she took me to see her house and meet her family, and she also lived in Tamarindo. Next picture. And this is Carolina. She lived in Chichigua, which was my favorite town, and it was also the poorest and smallest town. She was not in VBS, but when we toured Chichigua, she followed us around, and then when we got to play like basketball and stuff with them, she came over and we started kicking around a soccer ball. And what I really took away from this trip was that even though the kids, they don't have a lot, they still enjoy what they have, and when they play games, they're just so happy about it. And even though we have so much to them and they don't realize it, they're still happy about it. Thank you.
That's my daughter. If anybody has not had the blessing of doing a mission trip and taking your husband and daughter, it's quite a level. Okay, pray for me. The verse that I really, first of all, kudos that you had us learn that. Well, I struggled today because it's been a while, but those verses took on a meaning. I've been a Christian as long as I can remember, and those verses took on so much more meaning to me this week, seeing what we saw. But the verse that says, my command is this, to love each other as I have loved you. I've always thought that that was pretty easy to love people. I feel like I'm a pretty tender heart. And I fell in love with this church the first day, and I knew I loved him the first time I saw him. The Lord blessed me with her. But I also, my friends, I love them with an intensity, a deepness that the Lord I know has given me in my heart. But after seeing the poverty and the sickness and the depths of what they have there, I realized I didn't love good at all. Not like these people love. Not like I want to love. It started just with the love of my team. Waking up every morning at 5 o'clock with Emma to that rooster crowing, she'd look at me and I'd look at her like, again? But then she'd pop up and take a shower and we'd go off to do our stuff. And the heat was oppressive, but I can say that I'm a complainer about heat, and it was hot, yes, but it wasn't horrible. And Isabel, every time something sweet would happen, she'd look at me and I'd look at her, and Ma, it would just be, you couldn't touch the babies, because Isabel always had the babies. They just were drawn to her, and the little ones to Sophie. But so for my pictures, I don't consider myself to have very good hair, and Pam brought this great, great curling iron that had propane in it, so in the morning, we could actually curl our hair, but then as soon as you turned it off and the heat got you, so then I would just put it up. So I had it up, I got to VBS, and Katya, who had adopted me and were my loves the whole week, decided we were going to love on this girl the way that us natives do, and that's to start braiding their hair. So Pam and Paul came over and looked at me like, I'm really sorry. And I was like, they can do whatever they want to me right now.
Speaking as a family member, the hair is out of bounds. You do not touch the hair. Once the hair is done, you leave the hair alone.
So that was my two Katyas that was really hard to leave. They just blessed my heart so much. You can go on. And this, we were out in the alleyway doing games, and this fruit lady just came by. I don't know her name. I know I love her. She walked up to me and I said, un foto, and she went just like this to me, like, I love you too. And I'm telling you, there was no barriers. We couldn't communicate anything, but the love was so rich there, so rich. And then the staff there was beyond what I could ever imagine. Talk about love. They loved on us just like we were the natives there. They waited on us. They wouldn't let us do anything. The accommodations, this woman that worked around the clock there every day would make our beds up for us and clean our garbage cans, things that only a servant that loves you deeply, but we know as our good, good friends. And the head of group ministry, next one, became Pam and I, our dear, dear friend. And I'm still emailing her, and I'm going to do it till I get back there. I'm going back there. But serving us was just everywhere. And I just came away with a love that I have experienced love here, but it's just a deeper, deeper level. And I just hope all of you are at different times are allowed to go on a missions trip, because it changed my life. Oh, one last thing for the not talker. I really, that song now, ask them on Rooftime. Every time you sing, no one loves me like you do, Jesus, I used to get, like, weepy-eyed. Now it's like, they're on full time.
The great thing about my wife tending to cry a lot is that it will be hopefully more than what I will cry while I say whatever I'm going to say. The first thing I really wanted to say was thank you. Admittedly, my missions giving over the course of my church-going life is sporadic. And the generosity of this church in coming to our fundraisers and in providing was pretty awesome. But when I get to my third slide, it had way more meaning than I ever imagined it would. And I can't wait to explain that to you. But Jay asked us to kind of talk about what were a couple of things that had, a thing that had impact in our lives. He only gave me 5 minutes. I'm hoping I can make up Sophie's time. what had an impact in our life, and what was something that, you know, we saw, how did we see God working in our lives while we were there? And the most outstanding thing that I just kept seeing over and over again was this stark contrast. If you look up here, This is the river in Tamarindo. That's the town where Sophie's friend lives. That river's where they bathe. It's also where most of their garbage is. Yet, 10 minutes away, are some of the most beautiful ocean you've ever seen in your life. This is an area where we walk by just going in between houses. Again, more garbage in the yard. There aren't facilities necessarily to take care of it. There is limited garbage pickup, but it's sporadic at best. Yet, you can see the palm trees and the beauty of the restaurant. And it was just the stark contrast just hit me time and time again. Go ahead to the next slide, Rick. Now, that was just the landscaping. From my standpoint, the joy of the people and the love of the people that my wife was talking about was just as extraordinary. The young man just jumping during the game, I mean, this was the kind of enthusiasm and passion you saw over and over again. And, you know, I think we saw her maybe in another picture, but that's their soccer field. I almost took a picture of my daughter's soccer field where she plays during the summer league with the pristine, perfectly green grass, nicely white-painted goal, beautiful net behind it. You can't really see it, but hunched down like this is Jay between three branches that are pretty much tied together. That's their goal on hard-packed dirt and rock. And these kids are running around the bare feet. And by the way, they can dribble better than I ever could at about age 4. The other one, and I don't know if you can see it on the jumping kid, or there's a picture of Vince and Dave right there. We are in the alley outside the church. Above that stone concrete fence is razor wire. On the other side of it is barbed wire. You will constantly see that to protect from intruders or who knows what. Again, I look at that, and you know the song we were singing today, and I had to do it because I probably wouldn't remember it. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? And the joy and the love these kids have, it was like overwhelming. And I would probably go on and on for about another 20 minutes just on that, but Rick, go ahead and go to the next slide. My daughter mentioned Miguel, and I needed to talk about him because he is such a special individual. Miguel is 22 years old. He speaks almost 4 languages. He lives in Tamarindo, still does. Here's a kid who could, and probably at some point in his life, will accomplish great things for God. But right now, he still lives in this impoverished community. This picture here is just fantastic. I wish it was bigger and blown up. He is like the Pied Piper for children. Every day before vacation Bible school, Sophie, him, Emma's in this one, the kids would go out, and he'd go around, I don't know, was he making whistling noises or something? He'd make whistling noises, and the kids would kind of flock, and all of a sudden we'd go from about 10 kids to being about 45 kids, and then 75 kids. It's like, holy moly. And equally, he had just as much respect with all the adults. Now, I mentioned earlier is there's an impact that not just we who were there, but all of you had on him, or had on this. Miguel and I were quite close, as you might see from a couple of the photos where we're staring at each other and playing with each other. But we also had some time for some serious conversation. And Miguel said about 5 weeks ago, he realized he had a dream. And that dream was to go out and spread the gospel wherever God would send him. Now, when you think about the average day there, it's about survival. He said they don't dream. But that's what you are doing. Every time you give, whether it's a dollar into the mission fund or a fundraiser for any one of the trips, you are helping kids across the world to grow to a point where they can dream. And I can't tell you how much meaning that had to me, getting to just see it and experience it for real. And I think that's probably everything I had to say, but I just wanted to say thank you so much, because your contribution, your participating in our fundraising, I got the chance to see people who are dreaming big dreams now because of what we're doing, even though it's miles away. And I hope you get the same chance as we did.
So this wasn't my first missions trip. I actually went on one 31 years ago, but this one was so amazing. There were so many things about it that that God showed me. I was blessed by so many of the people that we met, and not just the Dominicans, but also the staff there, the interns. They were amazing. There was five of them. And then there was also the other team that we worked with the whole time we were there. And I just wanted to show the churches that the Vacation Bible Schools are held in. There's actually 9 weeks of Vacation Bible School. We only took part in 1 week. And they do 3 weeks in each church, in each community. So that means they have at least 9 teams coming in and out of the Macarios house. And we were just one of the teams. And we actually, because we were smaller, we partnered with another group. So the first church that we were at was in Tamarindo, I think. Okay. So this is the one we held our VBS at. And you already saw the pictures of the inside of the church and the kids playing in the alleyway for the games that we held. And we were week 2 of the Vacation Bible School they had there. And I think by the third day, we had close to 100 kids. I never heard the final numbers. So we would start, the beginning of the week wasn't too many, well, maybe 40 or so. And the next day, you had like 75. And then by Thursday, it was crowded, but it was lots and lots of fun. So the next church I took a picture of, it was, we didn't actually get to see inside of it. But they said, oh, this is where we held it the 3 weeks in Pancho Mateo. And then we didn't get to see anything about it. And they didn't tell me where they played their games. But I thought it was interesting because it was gated and closed. And then the third one is in Chichigua. And this one is very small. I had another picture. I wasn't sure which one to use because the other one showed that it was a very small church, and I peeked in the window. This one reminded me more of what we would see in West Africa. And this is the one where you saw the kids playing on the hard dirt ground. That's where they played their VBS games, they told me. So the church itself, I don't know how they fit all the kids in there, but it was not very large. But I was incredibly blessed by the chances that we had to make connections with the kids, and that we had a chance to meet with the sixth grade class that our church supports. And I didn't think a whole lot about it before we did this, but when they said, oh, you know, you're going to have this party with them, I'm like, okay. Oh, it was so much fun. Kids were all there. We were ready to play the games, and we said, oh, can we start? Oh, no, the teachers aren't here. They're a lot of fun. I'm like, okay. So the teachers got there, and they joined us and played these games with us, these silly games where we threw balloons, water balloons, and got all wet and did all that. And then I got a chance to talk to Hennessy afterwards. I didn't realize till later. I'm really, really, really bad at Spanish. And I didn't realize her name was actually Genesis. And I didn't know that's how you said it in Spanish, which you probably knew. But I did not. So Hennessy was actually a teacher of the year. She won all these awards. She's really young. She'd only been married for a very short time. And her husband, Belly, which I'm not sure how to say the whole name, but we called him Belly, not Billy, but Belly, like your belly button. And he was actually the art teacher and then turned into the assistant principal for this coming year. And they were just so cool in talking about the ministry there. And then Katarine, which I realize is Catherine. It takes me a while to figure out the American way of saying the Spanish names. And she was the Spanish teacher, like an English teacher here. She would be the Spanish teacher there. And then Kelvin, which was actually Kelvin, right? I'm doing okay, okay. And he was, the math teacher. So we got to talk to the teachers of the school. They're all Dominicans. And I was incredibly blessed. And being a teacher myself, I just loved all aspects of the school. I took a lot of pictures of inside the school. But there's no kids in them, so I didn't think they'd be a whole lot interesting to you. But I took pictures of the signs and the rules over the doors and, oh, all sorts of things. Their little reading nooks in the library. But it was just fascinating to me. And these kids are being raised in God's Word. And they're being taught about Jesus Christ in their schools, in their vacation Bible schools, and they are so loved. And that we were able to take part in this, and we were able to participate in this experience and share in that was incredible to me. I felt like not only were we blessing them, we were so blessed to be there. And I just would like to encourage all of you to any chance that you get to take a trip like this. I know how needed short missions trips like this are to the missionaries that are already in place and how we can help them and bless them. And it may not seem like much to you, but if you think about it, their staff was not that big. And for them to put on 9 vacation Bible schools, that they needed those teams to come in to help them. And so we were able to give them a little help there, and our part was the games, and you saw like what some of the other things that we did. The other team led the Bible story, and they did the arts, so we all worked together. But it was just an amazing experience. So I would encourage anyone and every one of you to think about it, that maybe that might be in your future. The next time you hear in the front of the church that, hey, there's a missions trip coming up, maybe it'll be your turn.
Did you hear that? That's what we heard every morning, really early, time after time after time. But we kind of got used to it, kind of like living near a railroad tracks. The last time I was on a missions trip with my husband was 19 years ago. So I was very thankful to be a part of this team under his leadership. He is an amazing leader. He's basically a professional missions team leader, having led over 20 teams. And our team was noticed and commended for being very well organized, very well prepared for our responsibilities, and that's largely in part to Jay's leadership. And we did really work well together as a team, and I am very thankful for that. As you can see, we had a very wide disparity of ages, and God used us all in really incredible ways. You've heard about Mige, just one of the ways that I was reminded that God is working everywhere. Brenda mentioned Milka. Milka, another just incredible godly woman who was, just keep it there for a minute, who was teaching very successfully in a public school, and she felt God moving her out of that position. She didn't know where to or why, but she very strongly felt, I need to leave this. God has something for me elsewhere. So she resigned, and Makarios got word of it, and they grabbed her. And she is an incredible asset to that staff. God has brought beauty from ashes in Milka's life. Her marriage was devastated by unfaithfulness from her husband. She has 2 beautiful children. She continued to remain faithful to God. And our last rooftop night was Friday night. She and her new husband of 7 months were able to join us and share in that worship time, just sharing prayer requests and how we can pray for her and her new family. And it was just very precious, that time that we had. And it just made me realize, okay, we're not taking this group of Americans over because God's not doing anything and they need us. God's working everywhere. God is working through the Nationals there. And that's so encouraging to us because we didn't leave thinking, oh no, it's going to all fall apart. Not at all. There are some really strong believers there. And yeah, we were a help and an encouragement to them, but that was a great lesson to me. One of the other things I was a little bit rebuked about was my need to be more grateful for what I have. This next picture is a picture of the home of one of the students in the class that we support. And you can't see behind that white fence on the ground is a little toddler sleeping on what looked like rags right next to that blue garbage can. This is how they live. And in this next picture, actually, this is one of the probably the nicer homes, but as you can see, they just have so very little. And what they have is so ragged. And I was reminded of my complaining about my downstairs bathroom. I have a tiled bathroom floor, and then some of the tiles are coming up, and every once in a while I go in there and barefoot, and they stick to the bottom of my feet, and it's so annoying. But you know what? I have a bathroom that has a real floor, and I can flush my toilet paper. I have a second floor of my house. I even have a finished basement. And this is it. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, he who closes his eyes to the poor receives many curses. Our eyes were really opened that week, and it made me think about we went and we loved on these kids, as all these teams are throughout this summer there. And God willing, one day, these kids will make professions of faith, and they will live in mansions that they could never have dreamed. So that was a very cool thought. One final story. It was mentioned that you couldn't flush the toilet paper, which took a little getting used to. Saturday night before our first service there, the woman who was kind of in charge of the house gave us kind of what to expect for church. How long is it going to be? It's going to be really hot. But just so you know, they'll have toilets, but be prepared with toilet paper. So just bring, you know, some tissues or whatever, just stick it in your purse or your pocket. So, okay, so I went and I was prepared and I did need to use the restroom. So I went in and I was prepared with my toilet paper, but what I was not prepared for was no toilet seat. So it was a little lesson in the quads, but you know what? God was working everywhere, everywhere. So I was thankful to have been a part of this team and this trip.